mantra for ISKCON. Because if we're late, we consider ourselves on time, right? So if you're on time, consider yourself late. Dhyana dhamma dhava kunja vihari Krishna Gopa Gopinath Sham Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Sri Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakti Vrindhi Ki Jai Go Premana. All glories to the assembly. All glories to the assembly. All glories to the assembly. All glories to Sri Guru. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Ramane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Girvisesha Shunyavadi Pashchati Rishatadne. So, today at 10:30 in the community hall there's going to be a meeting of the MCS subcommittees, and they're going to make presentations on what they are doing. And everyone is invited. Everyone is encouraged to come. Now the big question, Ananda Tirtha, is there prasadam there? Oh, what kind of prasadam? It's a secret. There's lunch prasadam? Or just snacks? Are they good? Special, okay. We can't tell you what they are, you have to go and find out, but they're special. Almost as good as the presentations. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the fourth canto, chapter title, Talks Between Narada and King Prachinibharisha. This is chapter 29, text 52. Narada Uvacha Krishna Evam Hi Sanchino Bhavata Purusharshabha Atra Me Varato Bhuyam Ishamaya Sunishchitam Narada Uvacha Prashna Evam Hisanchino Bhavata Purusharshava Atrame Vadato Bhuyam Nishamaya Sunichitam Narada Uvacha Prashna Evam Hisanchino Bhavata Purusharshava Atrame Vadato Bhuyam Nishamaya Sunichitam
Narada Uvacha ladies.
Question. Evam. Thus.
He.
Certainly.
Sanchinaha.
Answered.
Bhavataha.
Your.
Purusha.
Vishabha.
O great personality.
Atra. Here. May.
Vadata.
As I am speaking.
Guyam.
Confidential.
Nishamaya.
Here.
Sunishtitam.
Perfectly ascertained. The great saint Narada continued, O great personality, I have replied properly about all that you have asked me. Now hear another narration that is accepted by saintly persons and is very confidential. So Narada Muni has answered a question. What's happening now is he realizes that, who is Narada Muni speaking to? So he realizes that King Prachinibharshad didn't get it. So he's going to continue speaking. He gave him the right answer, but he didn't get it. He's not doing, he's not acting. It hasn't sunk in. So now he's going to continue speaking another story, trying to get him to get it. Purport. Now here, so the verse. Now here another narration that is accepted by saintly persons and is very confidential. Purport. Sri Narada Muni is personally acting as the spiritual master of King Bahishma. It was Narada Muni's intention that through his instructions, the king would immediately give up all engagement in fruitive activity and take to devotional service. So that's goes without saying that those who are preaching, especially those who are spiritual masters, the goal is to get people to take up bhakti. So that was also Narada Muni's goal. Prabhupada used to say, prepare fully for going back home, back to Godhead. So not only to get people to take up bhakti, but to prepare fully for going back home, back to Godhead. Right? Just like if you're taking a trip tomorrow, I will ask you, are your bags packed? You'll say yes or no. So, are your bags packed for going back to Godhead, or are they overweight? Prepare fully for going back to Godhead. Just take what you need. Don't take too much. It's an interesting question to ask yourself. Are you prepared fully? If today's the day, okay.
It was Narada Muni's intention that through his instructions, the king would immediately give up all engagement in fruitive activity and take to devotional service. However, although the king understood everything, he was still not prepared to give up his engagements. So this is a very interesting point. It's not that he didn't understand. Sometimes people don't do it because they don't understand. Here it said he understood. It was very clear. He understood the instructions. But he wasn't ready. Sound familiar? We give a class in forgiveness, and the first thing I tell the devotees that this is not a class about forgiveness. It's a class about how to forgive. There's a difference. So there's a difference in hearing and instruction. One is, that sounds nice. And the other consciousness is, oh, I'm going to do this. So here Narada Muni saw the first. He understood, but he wasn't prepared to act. So hearing, there's a qualification. And he wasn't hearing properly. So just like now we're sitting in class. We're hearing about something. Doesn't mean we're going to do anything. Right? The door is there. You can walk out anytime you want. And you can, when you walk out, you can do whatever you like. Right? One time, Prabhupada gave a lecture and he said, every morning you're singing Guru Mukha Padma Bhaktya Chite Te Kariya Akya. He said, but unfortunately, you do not know what you're singing. And he didn't mean you don't understand the translation. That we're hearing and then it didn't sink in. Something's missing. As we say in America in our sarcastic way, the lights are on but nobody's home. That means you're awake, you're hearing, but it didn't register. As the following verses will show, the king was contemplating sending for his sons who were away from home executing austerities and penances. After their return, he would entrust his kingdom to them and then leave home. So now, you think, well, what's wrong with that? He's planning to leave home when his sons come back. But that was not the instruction that he was given. He was given the instruction, leave now. So he didn't follow that instruction. And that's why Narada Muni saw there's a problem here. As the following verses will show, the king was contemplating sending for his sons who were away from home executing austerities and penances. After their return, he would entrust the kingdom to them and then leave home. This is the position of most people. They accept a bona fide spiritual master and listen to him. But when the spiritual master indicates that they should leave home and fully engage in devotional service, they hesitate. The duty of the spiritual master is to instruct the disciple as long as he does not come to the understanding that this materialistic way of life, fruitive activity, is not at all beneficial. Actually, one should take to devotional service from the beginning of life, as Prahlad Maharaj advised. Kumara acharet pragyo dharmam bhagavatam iha. Bhagavatam 7.6.1. This is interesting. The duty of the spiritual master is to instruct the disciple as long as he does not come to the understanding that this materialistic way of life, fruitive activity, is not at all beneficial. So from that we understand this is the main thing the spiritual master is trying, the main position the spiritual master is trying to bring the disciple to. Because once the disciple has that understanding, then it's pretty much downhill from there. And just get to this point, at this point one can begin serious devotional service. Isn't it? Because if we're toying with Maya, if we're not convinced, then what do? We hear the instruction, and then what do we say? I'll do it later. Later never comes, though, right? We say, yes, I know, but... And then we have some reason why we're not going to do it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, interestingly, speaks of this indirectly in Harinam Chintamani when he describes inattention, and he categorizes inattention, inattentive chanting, in three categories. One is distraction, one is apathy, and one is laziness. Can anyone relate? So apathy, what is apathy? Apathy is, I know, but I don't care. And laziness is, yeah, I know, and I'll do it later. Right? Just like with children, you say, don't do that, it's not good for you. And what do they say? I don't care. Right? It's not only my daughter, it's her son also, and her daughter. Or they say, who cares? Or as we commonly say, colloquially say, whatever. Prabhu, you should get up for Mangal Arati and chant your rounds. Whatever. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. I'll do what I want. That's apathy. So then you get a good instruction. The good instruction gets filtered through apathy, and it translates into, it was a nice instruction. I know I should, but whatever. And when it gets filtered through laziness, then it's, yeah, I know I should, but, you know, it's too much trouble. It's too cold in the morning to get up. That is classic mode of ignorance. If you want a classic example of the mode of ignorance, it's, I know I should, but it's too much trouble. That's the mode of ignorance. Mode of passion is, I know I should, but I've got other things going on. Isn't it? Ignorance is, you can't muster up enough energy to go beyond thinking about it. Yeah, it was a good class. Yeah, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. And passion is, yeah, I'd like to go on that program. I'd like to do this, but I got too much going on. And what's the mode of goodness? Mode of goodness is, that's a good instruction, and I'm going to do it. Because mode of goodness is not being pushed around by lethargy, apathy, distraction, or passion particularly is very self-centered. Yeah, well, I'll do it if I feel like it. Prabhu, are you going into the program? Well, I'll see if I feel like it. That's passion. You know, if I don't feel like it, why should I do it? And goodness says, no, I've heard this is the right thing, and I'll do it. So it's a very interesting point here. The duty of the spiritual master is to instruct the disciple as long as he does not come to the understanding that this materialistic way of life, fruitive activity, is not at all beneficial. So we hear it, and you hear it again, and we hear it again, and we hear it again. And we may not do it, even though we've heard it. Here the reason is given. Why? What's the reason? Because we're not convinced. We came to the material world on a mission. Just like when you parachute in the military, you parachute out an airplane. You don't do it for fun. That's not what the military does for recreation when they have their day off. That's what they do in war. They parachute into the enemy. They have a mission. We all parachuted into the material world. We had a mission. Who knows what the mission is? Prabhupada makes it very blunt in the Bhagavatam. Very interesting mission. He said, we've come into this world to enjoy beautiful women. So I guess we all came as men when we started. He says that in the Bhagavatam. Anyone remember reading that? He said, we come into the material world to enjoy beautiful women. So we came on a mission. And then the spiritual master says, it doesn't work. You won't be happy. And then we come to Krishna consciousness because we understand that. And then what happens? We say, I know. Down the road, we say, I know, but. Something's there telling us the mission is still active. We have to turn the mission off. That's Krishna consciousness. I was giving a seminar a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned that Prabhupada said Ravi Shankar was so good at sitar because he practiced for 1,000 lives. Everybody said, no, 10,000 lives. I don't know the bona fide 1,000 or 10,000. But we've practiced enjoyment a lot longer, so we are really good at it. We don't even have to try. It just happens. So the position of the guru is simply to convince us, no, that doesn't work. That's not your position. You are prakriti. If you're in the position of purusha, it's not going to work. If you're in the position of prakriti, it'll work. Now, the wonderful thing about this is Krishna, he mixes up a special brew for each of us. It's called rasa. Like in South India, you get rasam, right? Is it South Indian? Rasam? Yes. It's like a soup, dal, it has tamarind in it, different spices. So Krishna mixes up a brew for every living entity according to their particular relationship with him. They get a special brew of rasa. Sound good? You like to taste it? You have to get through this position first before you can taste it. Stop trying to enjoy the position of purusha. Now just think about it. Krishna's got this rasa for each of us. And what is it? What is Krishna? What is he giving us? He's giving us ananda, special kind of ananda just made for us. And what are we doing here? We're mixing up our own rasam. You think ours tastes as good as his? I don't think so. Our rasam gets us sick. His doesn't. When we try to enjoy, what happens? It doesn't work. So the guru is trying to convince us it doesn't work. So if we see within our heart, did we understand something, but we say, yeah, but I just can't, whatever it is, give it up, or I just, that's because there's something there that's telling us there's the mission is not over yet. There's still hope. I can fulfill this mission. Now, if you understand the mission, the Bhagavad Gita comes to light very nicely. Because what does Krishna say, really essentially teaching in the Bhagavad Gita? Well, I mean, if you really get to it, what is he saying, at least in the beginning? Essentially, he's saying, okay, just do what you do, but do it for me. Right? We've all heard that. We all know that, right? It's pretty simple. Why is he saying that? He's trying to intervene with the mission, right? Because we've had the mission for millions of lifetimes, and he's saying, stop the mission. Just do it for me. That breaks the dynamics of the mission. Doesn't it? Simple thing, right? It's so simple. We put ourselves in the center. Sometimes we let Krishna in the center if he can help us enjoy. Otherwise, if he can't, we kick him out of the center. Called piety is called Krishna's in the center. Impiety is called I'm in the center without... No. Piety means me and Krishna together. We'll work on my sense gratification. Impiety means Krishna outside and just me in the center. And Krishna consciousness means... Yeah. And sattva, karma yoga, Krishna in the center, I'm outside, and then pure bhakti is we're dancing. We're together again, but we're dancing. Right? So that's the big thing. Krishna says, get me in the center, because that breaks that whole spell of I'm the enjoyer. And that's the whole problem. That's it right there. Now, I don't know if you picked this up, but when Gurudas was here, I believe it was when Gurudas was here, he said something very interesting. He said, Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you can miss it. Does anyone remember that? What does that mean? Krishna consciousness is so simple, you can miss it. Well, here's an example. It's pretty simple, right? Just get out of the center, Krishna's the enjoyer, all problems solved. Now, look at it this way. What if right now I pulled out my magic wand? Every anartha that you had just evaporated. Imagine you had no envy in your heart. Wow. How would you feel without any envy in your heart? Would you feel good? No lust. No greed. No illusion. No madness. If I had a wand and I could do that, nobody would want to leave this room. We'd just be sitting here going, oh my God, I never felt like this before. Right? Think you'd feel good? Without lust, greed, envy, madness in your heart? Well, I haven't even put Krishna there. This just got rid of the anarthas. So isn't it ironic, paradoxical, that in the conditioned state, we maintain anarthas as facilities by which we enjoy? Do we think these things are enjoyable? It's a reality of psychology that the living entity only acts for enjoyment and only acts to avoid misery. Anytime you have fear, fear is simply the belief that if you do something, you'll be unhappy. So you move away from it. That's all fear is. Think about it.
Prabhu, if there's a plane out there and we're going to parachute out of it, how many do you want to come? Oh, yeah. Running out of the room. Because that doesn't look enjoyable. I could kill myself. What if I lose my concentration? I can't hold the shoe. So, fear is just a manifestation of thinking I'll be happy if I do something. So we maintain anarthas because we think we'll get something from it. It's the only reason. What else do we maintain? Now you say, but Prabhu, it's not that I want to maintain them. They're already there. They're doing well. I came to Krishna consciousness. Started the process and they're just there. Not exactly like that. We have a
very interesting philosophy. It's so simple you might have missed it, and I'll explain it to you. Krishna consciousness is really interesting because when somebody joins Krishna consciousness, they're very enthusiastic. Were you enthusiastic when you joined? Gonna give me it. Were you enthusiastic? Yeah. I was very enthusiastic. I'm sure we all were enthusiastic. That is a contradiction philosophically. If you have all these anarthas, especially when you join, they're well maintained. They've been watered and weeded and put fertilizer on them. You know, and then you join. Somehow or other, or the British say, somehow or another, you're enthusiastic. It doesn't make sense. You've got all these anarthas. How can you be enthusiastic with anarthas? Big ones, juicy ones. How is it possible? Because after you've been a devotee 20 years, you go, Prabhu, I'm not doing good. Why? Oh, the anarthas are getting me down. Well, they didn't get you down when you're a new devotee. What happened? What's the reason? Something happened on the way. But the point is, in bhakti, we can be enthusiastic in spite of all these anarthas. Anarthas are really actually not a problem. They really aren't. We think they are, and when we think they are, they become the problem. They become the problem as we believe they're the problem. Some devotee says, Prabhu, but I'm envious. Okay, what else is new? So is everybody else. But you were envious and you became a devotee. How did you manage that? How did you do that? I don't understand it. How is that possible? Because you didn't give in to the envy. Right? You said, okay, I'm envious, but I'm going to be Krishna conscious anyway. Now, just as a little side point here, if a devotee finds himself or herself beaming with envy because one of their godbrothers or godsisters, who they recognize is certainly not as qualified as they are, has achieved a position greater than them, in fact, it was the position they were hoping to get, what happens? Do they have a celebration? Do they bring that? They go to that person's home and bring them a birthday cake? No, they go home and they steam comes out of their ears. That devotee, they don't deserve it, but I'm so much better. Why didn't I get it? This movement's so messed up. The leadership is so messed up. They can't see qualification. Where, I mean, what's going to happen in the future? You know, like this steaming, right? That's normal. If you feel that way, you are normal. You are a normal person who's come to Krishna consciousness. That's normal. But if you're a devotee, it's not normal to stay that way. What's normal is to go to that person with the cake and say, I am so happy you got this position, Hare Krishna. I wish you well. That's the response. What do we have a choice of as a devotee? We don't always have the choice to steam, but we have the choice to cool down and bake the cake and go over there. Right? You say, but Prabhu, I'm envious. This happened. And I'm upset. Okay. What, the point is not that you're upset. The point is, what do you do now that you're upset? Do you bake the cake and bring it over and congratulate the person? Or do you just steam and tell everyone in the universe that this person is not qualified and I'm qualified, and the whole problem in ISKCON is the leadership just can't see qualification, and that's why there's so many problems in ISKCON. That's the conditioned response. You didn't do that when you were a new devotee. In fact, you didn't even notice all the faults of the people in the temple, did you, when you were a new devotee? You thought they were all pure devotees. A few weeks later, you found out they weren't. That's when all your problems started, right? Now, bhakti, very interesting. I want to tell you something really interesting about bhakti. First, if you take gyan, the process of gyan, if you want to do gyan yoga, first you have to take sannyas. That's where it begins. So, I guess the women, I don't know if they can do it. But you want to enter the path of gyan seriously, first you take sannyas. Then you get your detachment complete, and then you begin. Did you know that? That's where you begin. You begin at sannyas. Where do you begin in bhakti? Does it matter where you are? Does it? Wherever you are, you begin. And then what happens? From there, it goes up. Right? And then the detachment comes. Now, Jiva Goswami explains something very interesting about bhakti. Because the whole idea of bhakti is you can be envious, you can be lustful, you can be greedy, you can be all these things, and you can be enthusiastic for devotional service. And you can be out there every morning at Mangalarti like you were when you joined the temple. Sureshwar, is it true you went to the Boston Temple and someone stole your shoes and you couldn't leave the Sunday feast and that's why you became a devotee? Is that true?
I walked in the temple and my big toe went through my sneakers.
Oh.
So I took it as an omen, okay, this is the
So Sureshwar walked into the temple, right? If Sureshwar was a bona fide youth of the era of 1969-70, then he wasn't doing puja for the last 20 years, or kirtan, or reading Bhagavad Gita every day. He was doing puja, but it was with ganja, not with ghee-whips. If he was a bona fide youth of that age. And then he walks in the temple, his shoe breaks, he can't leave because it's snowing, and he becomes a devotee. And he's up for Mangalarti. Adibo! And he's dancing in ecstasy. How does that happen? He's full of anarthas. That's the process of bhakti. So Jiva Goswami makes an interesting point. He said, bhakti, it's not pure vaidhi. He said, in bhakti, you don't do pure vaidhi. Because pure vaidhi is just rules. So what would be an example of pure vaidhi? Actually, unfortunately, we do it, but we're not supposed to. Pure vaidhi would be like, okay, I have to chant Gayatri. And the whole time you're chanting Gayatri, you're just waiting to get it done. Have you ever done that? Yeah. Chanting Gayatri, looking at your watch, got so many things to do. The mantras are going, your mind's all over the universe. But you did the Gayatri because that's the vaidhi, that's the rule. You're just to chant the mantra, right? Just like Janani Vas, in many classes, he talks about before you do the puja, you do the meditation. And he relates that to japa. Before you do the japa, you can do the meditation to get in the mood. That's a different level. But if it's just, I just have to finish my rounds, if I get them done, I'm good. That's pure vaidhi. It's not about the mood. It's not about anything. It's not about Krishna and his name, the feeling. It's just pure vaidhi, I did it. But Jiva Goswami says, he said, actually, we don't practice pure vaidhi. We practice what's called ajata ruchi raganuga bhakti. What's that? Ajata means not yet born or fully manifest. Ruchi, taste. Raganuga, following in the mood of the spontaneous devotees. We actually do that. Interesting. How do we know? Well, I have two stories to illustrate, to back this principle up. This is in the Bhakti Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami wrote six Sandarbhas. Sandarbhas are treatises. And this is the treatise on bhakti. So I'll tell you a story. I may have told this story before. It's such a nice story. Well, let me preliminarily explain this a little bit. Well, I'll tell the first story first. I was a student in one of the craziest places in the universe, Berkeley, California. Berkeley, California is sometimes named as Berserkly, because if you're sane when you go there, you become crazy after living there. Or if you're crazy, you'll become attracted to living there. That's how it got the name. It's a very, very liberal place. So that's where I became a devotee. So I also was not doing puja for 20 years, and also, well, doing puja with that ganja stick, maybe. And had many deeply ground samskaras in all sinful activities. The most sinful of which was rock and roll, which I'm still trying to purify myself from. But sometimes I engage it in kirtan. So there I am, somehow I'm attracted to Krishna consciousness. By Krishna's mercy. And the devotees are there every day on campus doing kirtan. Wow, what a nice thing. Go to a college where every day there's devotees doing kirtan. And I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, studying the Bhagavad Gita with devotees, and I was starting to become Krishna conscious. So I was going to these kirtans. And I was actually getting a taste. I would go to the kirtan and I would tell myself, there's something here. That is not anything like anything I've ever gotten before. So you'll say, hey, Mahatma, you're just a dirty hippie. You're destined to be a cockroach in your next life. How could you get a taste? Hey, Prabhupada said that, right? Didn't he? Hippies will become cockroaches. Because they're dirty, and cockroaches like dirty places. But it was that taste. I got something. Something pulled me to Krishna consciousness. Something pulled me out of Maya. There was some taste there. Now you're saying, How could that be taste? Taste comes after nishta. And nishta comes after anartha nivritti. And you were full of anarthas. What do we understand from this? I was not on the stage of ruchi, but I had ruchi. You don't have to be on the stage of ruchi to have ruchi. You don't have to be on the stage of bhava to have bhava. And I will tell another story that explains this. It's a very nice story. This is from 1970, Gujarat. Surat, the devotees, the American dancing white elephants came to Surat and took Surat by storm. People never saw white Vaishnavas. So seeing the white Vaishnavas, they went crazy. As we say in America, they went bananas. They probably brought out bananas. They went bananas, they brought out bananas. They went crazy. Worshipping the devotees, throwing garlands on them like this. And so the devotees became ecstatic, even more ecstatic, seeing how these people were becoming ecstatic. And the devotees went mad in the Harinam Sankirtan, Nagar Sankirtan. The next day in the newspaper, it had, I don't know if it was headlines, but the story was, devotees, Hare Krishna devotees, I don't know, it said something this, that, I don't know if it said dancing white elephants, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, whatever, but it said they dance and chant in ecstasy. Ecstasy is bhava. Bhava comes after ruchi, after a sakti, attraction, then there's bhava, which is the first ray of love of Krishna. It's up there. Right? It's a few steps away from where the hippies came from, right? And these people, 1970, average devotee, billion devotee a year. So Prabhupada's godbrother had a disciple. He read the article and he wrote a letter to the editor and said, this was not ecstasy. Ecstasy, first, there's bhajana kriya. First, there's shraddha, then there's bhajana kriya. And then if you do bhajan, you do your, you know, follow the regular principles, chant 16 rounds, that's bhajana kriya. Then you come to anartha nivritti, which means basically these anarthas don't bother you so much, so you're not like up for Mangal Arati dancing one day and the next day packing your bags to bloop. That's how you say, Prabhu, how do I know I'm not an anartha nivritti? That's how you know. You know, you're dancing at the Sunday feast, you know, full of gulab jamuns. The next morning you're like ready to pack your bag, you know. That's how you know you're not yet at anartha nivritti. So past that stage of up bhakti, up and down, past that stage, then you get ruchi because you're not all over the universe. You're fixed, right? You can actually think of Krishna when you have ruchi. And then you become attracted, and then you get bhava. So this devotee, this person wrote, said, there's no way these Americans could be in ecstasy. And they read the article to Prabhupada. And after they read the article, you know, all these arguments from Shastra, how this stage, that stage, you know, when you're on the stage of bhava, it manifests this way. At the end of the article, Prabhupada said, he said, no. So we were in ecstasy. That was his reply. So what did Prabhupada mean? He meant there was actual ecstasy in the kirtan. Right? But we weren't on the stage of bhava. Okay, because if we're on the stage of bhava, the ecstasy wouldn't stop. Right? Or the ruchi wouldn't stop. Some days you get ruchi for japa, don't you? And some days not. That's because you're not on the stage of ruchi, but that doesn't mean it's not ruchi, right? Something. So, here's the real point that we sometimes miss. Prabhupada talks about be sincere. That's everything. When devotees can't follow the principles, how does Prabhupada reply? He said, be sincere. And the devotees say, what does sincere mean? He said, sincere means you promise, do it. And if you actually analyze Prabhupada's explanation of sincere, what does it boil down to? It boils down to one thing, as far as I understand, that Krishna gave us a choice. And even though we're swimming in an ocean of ignorance, in an ocean of the modes of nature, even though, as Krishna says, Haranti prasabhammana, the mind will get thrown, even as Krishna says, Balavan Indriya Grama, the senses are so strong, that vibhamsam apikarshati, even a man of knowledge gets thrown. Even despite that, you begin to understand that doesn't refer to bhakti. Those verses really don't refer to bhakti. Maybe very neophyte bhakti. But what remains supreme in bhakti is at the core of your heart, you have a desire to please Guru and Krishna. That's it. That's what bhakti is. And if you have that, it doesn't matter if all those anarthas are there. In the Bhagavatam verse, tadarajastamo bhava tam kamala bhadayasche, when you reach to sattva, you reach, you know, enlivened devotional service, then tamas and rajas go away. And then you become situated in goodness and become satisfied. In the commentary to that verse, I believe it by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, the anarthas remain in the heart of the devotee, but they're powerless. They're just like, it's like you have a disease, but it doesn't, you know, like you have a disease, but it doesn't do anything. It's there, you have to be careful, but it has no effect on you. He said, so that's what happens to a devotee. The anarthas are there, but in the power of the core desire to serve Krishna purely, they can't do anything. That's what bhakti is about. So that's why Jiva Goswami says Ajata Ruchi, Raghunuga Bhakti, that there's, it's not just pure bhakti. So therefore, it's so interesting. You give someone the japa beads, they're brand new. Sureshwar, the next morning, he's given the japa beads. He doesn't know if he's coming or going. You know, he's just, there he is, he's living as a brahmachari. You know, what is a brahmachari? You know? No idea. So he's given the beads, and they say, chant. And all they tell you is, here's the head bead, don't chant on that. Start on this one, when you get to the end bun, go around. Anything else I need to know? Yes. Become more humble than a blade of grass. And so, 43 years later, we know something about Krishna consciousness, and we say, wait a minute. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, humility is the ornament of prema. You're telling me to become more humble than a blade of grass? What does that mean? It means swimming in the ocean of ignorance. We have free will choice, at least, to adopt the attitude and practice of humility. Right? Isn't it? That's what bhakti is. It means we have a choice. Okay, I'm wretched, this, that, whatever. But at least I can chant the holy name with humility. I have that choice. No, I don't have any humility, probably. You don't know how puffed up I am. I mean, my God, you know. So I could knock over the Twin Towers. They didn't need planes. I'm so puffed up, you know. It doesn't matter. That's just an excuse. That's not our philosophy. To give in to the anartha is not our philosophy. That's the mode of ignorance. I know, I should, but whatever. Who cares? That's the mode of ignorance. And then we enshrine the mode of ignorance, we come up with a new philosophy. Oh, Prabhu, my mind's so controlled, I can't do that, this, that, and the next thing. It's not true. From experience, I teach japa workshops, so I help people. One of the things I try to do is help them chant in the proper mood. And they realize that japa is not an autopilot process. So I just chant and whatever my mind does that day, well, that's how it goes. Just, you know, that was Monday. Mondays are bad japa days, Prabhu. You know, too many pakoras on Sunday. Mondays are always bad. You don't do anything about it? No, what can I do about it? If the pakoras did it all, you know. No, that is the mode of ignorance. You're helpless, you can't do anything. It's just the mind in the ocean, and the mind is going, and it's just like, whatever, I can't do anything. No, that's not what... Bhakti is free will choice to manifest the right attitude and right consciousness at every moment. So then we teach devotees, this is the right way, this is the right mood when you chant. Then they write me letters and say, oh, Prabhu, the chanting is so much different now. My realization is so much different. Why? Simply the attitude changed, and because we had the free will choice to change the attitude. Okay, I feel envious, whatever. It doesn't matter. What matters is how you respond to it, and Krishna has given us that choice. So, I'm being tortured here because I'm supposed to end class, and for me, that's very difficult. to speak, because I'm used to doing workshops that go for 8 hours, so I can speak as much as I want. Anyway, officially, we have to end, but all I can say is if anyone wants to stay to ask a question, I can do that, but I have to officially end, and there's so much more to say about this, but Sureshwar has something to say, yes.
Oh, ski cap sadhu. Commentary between lines. Mandarin hearers. Application bell. American seminar. Relentless challenge. Beauty of bhakti. Philosopher's objection. Happy ending now. That's it. Thank you, Maha.
Hare Krishna. Sureshwara Prabhu ki jai. Suresh Prabhu writes poems for every class. That's a special kind of poetry. Thank you very much for that. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So you can all go. Feel free to go. I won't feel in any way offended. And even if I do feel offended, I'll be able to deal with it. Don't worry. So, but if you want to stay and have questions. Prabhu, I was a temple president 4 times. I have practiced being offended. I'm like good at dealing with it now. So you don't have to worry. Yes, you have to. Yes.
You mentioned, Prabhu, about anarthas, that we maintain them.
Yes.
We think that, why we maintain them, that we think that they will bring us something good.
Yes.
But we have experience many times they don't bring something good.
Yeah.
Why we think like that?
Very good question. So he's asking and say, okay, we have experience. Yatato api purushasya. Even the man, vipaschitaha, with discriminating intelligence, yatato, he endeavors. And what happens? Still. Okay, so here's how Krishna consciousness works. It's quite simple. We have this example of falling in the well. You fall in the well, how do you get out? Well, you have to do something, right? You try to get out, but you're jumping up and down, it's not enough. You're trying to climb on the wall, it's not enough. And some sadhu comes and says, hey Baba, grab onto this rope. And he throws the rope down. And you're like, grab onto the rope? That's too much trouble. Can't you like send, an escalator down here so I can just, you know. So, in bhakti, there's effort and there's kripa, right? So this gyan, this level of gyan, when you read Abrahma Bhuvana Loka from everywhere in the world, up and down, it's a place of misery. You read all these things about, if you try to enjoy, you'll suffer. And we go, yes, I got it. I understand it. Just so we understand it, just like in this verse. He understood it clearly, and he couldn't do it. So what do? We do detachment. Gyan makes for detachment. You understand something, you go, that's the wrong way. I really like that. It looks good, but I shouldn't do it. So on the level of jnana, your life goes like this. I know I shouldn't do this, I'm going to try not to do it. And then you see the devotee
on the level of jnana,
this is how he chants japa. This can, of course, for those who aren't seeing this, they're not going to understand the full benefit. But when you're on the level of jnana, it looks something, japa looks something like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Right? So, what's going on there? You seen that before? That means there's a taste for Maya, and there's knowledge that that's the wrong thing. So through Gyan, he's trying to force detachment. In the early days of ISKCON, we'd have these powerful classes by these powerful sannyasis. And what were the classes about? 90% of the class was a biology and physiology class about a woman's body and how horrible it is. Seriously, you know. You know, it was Sannyas Biology 101. You know. Milk is, that smells really bad. You know, I can't even get near those women. I just think about it. Isn't it? I mean, anyone who's around those days, they know. That was, you know, the rough, tough 22-year-old sannyasis who were trying to protect themselves. I mean, you know, the whole temple was full of 22-year-old women. Now we have some mercy. Those 22-year-olds are 60. So it's, you know, and we're also 60. It's a little easier, right? But, you know, we were 22 and they were 22, you know, except some devotees were sannyasis. So it was like, okay, how are we going to pull this one off, you know? Well, they had to remind themselves what the body was meant. That's gyan. You know, you're attracted, you're attached, you want to enjoy it. You haven't got it through your head that this is not enjoyment. It looks enjoyable, right? The enjoyer conditioning is powerful, right? The mission is still on to enjoy. It's just we become devotees. But, you know, it's moving. The mission wheels are moving. So that's gyan. If you're on that level, that's a sign you're in trouble. You know, okay, you could use your gyan to detach, but that means trouble. That's trouble. There's trouble ahead if that's how you're going to be traveling, right? The process of bhakti produces detachment. That's a different kind of detachment. That's a byproduct detachment, right? Byproduct. Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Jnana, Vairagya. That's byproduct of bhakti. That's different. On that level, when Miss America joins ISKCON and she walks into the temple, you're like, cool, you know, and you don't even know who she is. You know, did you see Miss? Well, there's so many women, I didn't notice her. That's the gyan byproduct. You're in a different world now. You're in a different league because you're evolved more in your bhakti. So that is taste. You have more taste, you have more realization. Your realization and taste is stronger. That's why taste is so important. Now, if we go back to my original point, Jamunacharya is talking about thinking about his past sex life. Wow, why is he even talking about it? What's his point? He goes, sometimes I think about it. I think about my old girlfriend. But what happens when he thinks about it? He goes, oh, that was disgusting. He's not thinking about it like, uh-oh, I hope I don't do this again. So you can actually think about it, but now it's on a different level of realization. Now it's not just pure gyan, now it's realization. So if you study Bhagavatam, you can get very depressed. If you read about all the sadhus, all these great ascetics who fell down to sex life, Brihaspati, Brahma, Sobari Muni, these people who are super powerful, super sense controlled, and you read it and you go, what hope do I have? But then you have Thakur Haridas. That's the hope. And what's the hope? We get some ruchi, especially for this. Because without that ruchi, it's hopeless. I don't want to depress you. I don't want you to give up. But without ruchi, you're not going to make it. Right? You won't make it by gyan. You know, you can hear, Satchinandan Swami tells a story. He gave a fired up brahmacharya class. Fired up. What's it? Ladies, you know what a fired up brahmacharya class is? It's about how bad you are. How irritating you are. How nagging you are. And how you look like beautiful roses when you're young. But when you get old, you look like dried up raisins. That's a good brahmacharya class, if I ever heard one. Not to speak of the physiology, sannyas physiology 101, that's thrown in there, right? So this Maharaj said, I gave this one of the best ever brahmacharya classes, dissecting the body head to toe, how miserable it is, the heart of the women is just like a razor. Oh man, you don't want to get near these guys, you know, they're just like drive you into the walls. You know, smash you, your life will be miserable. You'll get in that well, you'll never get out. Just don't do it. Nice, mature brahmacharya class. Standard brahmacharya class, ISKCON 1975. Ladies, most of you missed the fun. So, Satchinandan Swami says to this brahmacharya, Krishnadas, how'd you like the class? said, Maharaj, I'm more sexually agitated now than I've ever been. Been talking about women for the last hour. So that's the end result of gyan. You're trying to get out of it, and you're thinking about it. You know? It's like Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He was so upset in Los Angeles in the early days that the grihasthas who lived across the street from the temple were not coming to Mangal Arati. And he wrote Prabhupada a letter. He said, we have these apartments. What are they doing in those? Who knows what they're doing at 4:30 in the morning, but they're not there. And Prabhupada wrote him back and said, you are a sannyasi. Why are you thinking of the grihasthas? But the reality is, if you're thinking about it, you're attached to it. And the reality of bhakti is, you get realization, which gives detachment. So when you're detached, you don't think about it. That's how you know you're detached. But it only comes from ruchi. Do you think, I like to joke with the ladies. Ladies, you know what Harley Davidson motorcycle is? They're the coolest motorcycles. Any of you ladies have dreams about Harley Davidsons? I just gotta get on a Harley Davidson. I gotta get on the highway, you know. I gotta get out of my airport. It's driving me crazy. I gotta get on one. But that's what men think about, right? Why don't they think about it? Because they're not attached to Harley Davidson motorcycles. Otherwise, if you were attached to it, you would think about it. Any of you had dreams of Harley Davidsons? No, only her. She used to ride on them. Her boyfriend used to have them. She's got Harley some scars. Uh-oh. He had a dream his car was stolen. So we only meditate on what we're attracted to, right? So the rough, tough brahmachari, you know, he's meditating on how much he doesn't like women, and he's trying to convince himself he's not attached to women. Hello, Prabhu. If you're not attached, you don't think about it. You think about pink bow ties? No, because you don't wear them. Right? You only think about them if you wear them. Maybe if you're Elton John or something, you think about it, right? You only think about what you're... So, bhakti means the pure desire to serve Krishna on any stage. And if we manifest bhakti, then there becomes ruchi. And so the whole problem with this I know but is there's no ruchi. That's the problem. And there's one other point, and I taught this in a course, and it's very, very important. The reality is what's happening is because of this propensity to enjoy, right? All the thoughts are following in line with that propensity. And once we break the spell, Prabhupada said, under the spell of Maya, we're all under the spell of Maya. If we break that propensity to enjoy, if we just turn it, I just want to please Krishna, that's it. I only exist for Krishna's pleasure. That cuts it at the root. And then all those problems start to subside. Because you're not looking at the world in terms of enjoyment. And how did Prabhupada define spiritual and material? He didn't say there's a spiritual world and material world. He simply said it's the world you see in connection with your sense gratification. That's material. And the world you see in connection to pleasing Krishna, that's spiritual. So, technically speaking, for a devotee, there is no Maya. Technically speaking. And Prabhupada said, you don't have to go far to find Maya because she's on the backside of Krishna. So as soon as you forget Krishna, Maya shows up. Right? But when you connect everything to Krishna, there's no Maya. Now, one other thing. In this Ajata, it's a really nice point. In this Ajata Ruchi, Raghunuga Bhakti, so then Jiva Goswami says, so how do you practice it? It said, you do your bhakti. Don't do it as pure vaidhi, as ritual. When you take prasadam, think of the cowherd boys taking prasadam. When you go to Rath Yatra, think of the deeper meaning, the separation, bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, the mood of separation at Kurukshetra, where the devotees are with Krishna, but they can't have Krishna. When you're chanting Gayatri, you meditate on the meaning, you know, go deeply into the Leela, past. I said, you can do that, even the day you move in the temple, you can actually do that. It doesn't mean you're on the stage of Ruchi, it just means that you can do that. And that's what we need to do. And then if you do that, you get more ruchi. So all this other stuff, I know I should, but is very strongly influenced by the mode of ignorance. And you can't get ruchi that way. She had a question. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes. Prabhupada gave one meaning. He said, Krishna, she's asking the meaning of the Maha Mantra. He said, Krishna, for so many lifetimes I've been serving Maya. I want to stop serving Maya and serve you. It's a petition. It's the desire. It's the heart of the devotee. Yeah, the Maha Mantra has so many meanings, but that's, it's the same thing. It's the heart. Dhanadhar Swami made a nice point. He said, when your heart is in that mood of Krishna, I just want to serve you. He said, at that point, all your other desires dissolve. Because every other desire is simply the desire to look for that desire in the heart. And when that desire is absent, then all these other desires come. You know, why does power attract you? Why does money attract you? Why does the opposite sex attract you? Because the pure desire to love Krishna is not there yet. Why would we become envious of anyone? Why are we happy when someone outdoes us? What's wrong with us? When the pure desire is there, we're happy. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I just want you. I want your service and I want it purely. We were talking in a class last week, Shudhanam simply means chant for pure devotion. That's Shudhanam. You chant with a desire to serve Krishna purely. That's Shudhanam. Wow. Isn't that amazing? You can chant Shudhanam, and you can do Shuddha Bhakti. How? Do it to please Krishna. That's all. I do this to please Krishna. That's it. The problem is we do service and we want something. I want to be known as a great this. And we contaminate the service. I want to do the service, I want to get something. Prabhupada said, why are we distributing books? He said, simply we want to see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati smile. We just want to please the previous acharyas. That's it. That's our motive. That's bhakti. Then if we're not doing that, then we come down to this platform of jnana and do our biology class to, you know, keep ourselves from, you know, going crazy and falling into maya. Isn't it? Just know when you're battling with jnana, it's a losing battle. That's right there in the Shastra. You lose. Balava Indriya Grahaman, the senses are so strong. Vidvamsam Apikarshati, even a learned man can't control them. We're not that learned. We're not that smart. Vishvamrita was not that smart. Brihaspati was not that smart. So Bharimuni was not that smart. Even Brahma lost it. And they asked Prabhupada, why? How could he do it? He's a pure devotee. And he said, to show us how strong, how careful we have to be. Now, when you understand this thing, you understand very clearly. Oh, I'll tell you a nice story. The devotees, they went out on some program. They came back midnight. So what do you do when you come back at midnight? You set your alarm for 6 hours, 7 hours, whatever you need, right? Then you get up. What do you do when you sleep next to Prabhupada's room? Don't do it. Because at 4 o'clock, if you're not up, he'll get you up. 4 o'clock, Prabhupada came. He said, why isn't everybody up for Mangalarti? Oh, Prabhupada, late night, but you sleep later, up at 4 o'clock. Kumbh Mela festival, you know, 5 degrees, nobody was getting up. Prabhupada was sick, he got up, took his bath in the morning. Why? So everybody else would get up. He was so strict about getting up early. Why? Because Prabhupada knew if we don't do these things, then we live in passion and ignorance. And what's the hope? You have to at least be in goodness. From goodness, we can get the right attitude, the right mode. We're not battling with these lower modes. Because it's only in passion and ignorance that you think these things are attractive. In goodness, they don't look attractive. Because goodness is knowledge, you can see it. In passion and ignorance, you see it, but you don't feel it. You just feel like, oh, I gotta have it. Or in ignorance, you feel like, yeah, this looks nice, but, you know, just pass me another pakora, it's too much trouble, you know? But in goodness, you actually see it and you can do something about it. You know, in goodness, it's like you wake up and you do it. So we have to understand how the modes are affecting us. And that's why Prabhupada wanted us up early, chanting. It was so, every letter, practically 16 rounds, 4 ranks, just smashing, smashing, smashing. Can't we move on to something higher? Yeah, but get this first. Don't give this up when you move on to something higher. So he's very strong about that. sattva-gun, be up. Many devotees' lives are filled with passionate ignorance. And they're wondering why they're having trouble. That's why. I was telling my wife, I said, you know, I thought I was the enjoyer, I got married. And then I found out I had to take out the trash, do the dishes, clean the floor, do this and that. And my wife said, she said, yeah. I said, but now you're a servant. And that's higher up. And I said, you defeated me. So this is, you know, the male Bob, you know, enjoyment. We want to enjoy. You know, everything's about enjoyment. And we get married to enjoy, and all of a sudden we're taking out the trash. You know, what happened? I thought I was God. I became, and it's all Krishna's mercy to show you, no. You're not. And the reality is, if we are going to spread Krishna consciousness and take over this world, we have to become so expert at not enjoying and expert at simply meditating on how to give people Krishna. There's a definition of compassion. It means to be kind to people who don't deserve it. Well, I'm not going to go out and give them prasadam. They're just dirty karmis. I have to wear dirty karmi clothes and talk to the dirty karmis. I'm not going to do that, no. Preaching means you do what you have to do to give people what they don't deserve. And that's why also why Prabhupada stressed preaching. He said, because it'll force you to come to that consciousness. And every devotee knows when you're in that consciousness of just thinking about how to give Krishna consciousness to another person, then you go, oh, that was ecstatic. Because you're not thinking about your stupid self anymore and how to enjoy, you know. You can't. You know, it's just like, it's an endless loop. You'll think about it for a zillion years and you won't figure it out. Because Krishna's got his rasam. And he'll give it to you if you just stop thinking about how to create your own rasam. Right? So, the good news is, if you just stay in Krishna consciousness, at some point in some time, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to go, I think I got it. And you're going to remember that mantra. It was so simple, you can miss it. You go, yeah, I just missed it for like 45 years. I think I got it now. Prabhu, I got it. Get it, come here, I got it. I'm not the enjoyer. Kind of goes like, took you 43 years to get it? I think I got it. And then you're ecstatic because you finally realize you're not the enjoyer. That was the first day you were happy in your entire journey in material existence. You realized you weren't the enjoyer. And it took you 43 years and reading that same verse 16,216 times, and you finally got it. So Prabhus, someday we'll get it. Just stick around. It might take time, but we'll get it. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. By your mercy, I beg your blessings that someday I'll get it also.